when we sing from our heart to Him. You may be seated. We're going to have a song before I minister, because I want to bring you a message today that God actually gave me in the wee hours to bring this morning. I wasn't cramming for it. I had another message fully prepared. You know, as I always do, I study to show myself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. I always pray that I want, that the Holy Spirit has a ministry that sometimes is neglected and is needed now more than ever. And that is when He comes, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. If you continue in My word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I'm going to add to that, it'll keep you free. Free from error, free from deception, because deception is one of the greatest marks of the end time. Many false prophets deceiving many, many being deceived. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we're in that day, and that's part and parcel of the falling away. This involves the church. This involves the Christian community. This involves those that name the name of Jesus. The world hasn't come to Him, so they can't fall away from Him. It is a Greek word from a Latin word that actually means divorce. You had to be married to get a divorce. You can't be a divorcee if you've never been married. You can't fall away from God if you've never come to God. So what we're seeing today is that falling away. That day shall. What is contributing to it? What is contributing to it? It's all in pulpits that are not bringing truth to God's people. And therefore, they're going the way of the world. Now, the whole denominations are forsaking the authority of Scripture once that happens. See, a world church is forming, and there's going to have to be compromises in every world religion, including Christianity, when it just becomes another world religion instead of stands out distinctly from all world religions. And it should be distinctly different. And there should never be any compromise. We're not just selling out Jesus who died on the cross, but every Christian martyr that gave their life for the truth that we are neglecting to declare in our generation. This is a blood-bought gospel by Christ, and it's a blood-brought gospel, because we wouldn't have it in its pure form if it wasn't for those that laid down their life rather than compromise. It was one of the most convincing things to the early church era was that Christians were willing to die for their faith. They didn't have to have a pilgrimage to an empty tomb. They saw people in the Roman arenas. They saw them loose wild animals upon them to tear them from limb and tear babies from mother's arms. And they said, if He didn't rise from the dead, no one in their right mind would allow that to happen to them. What? I mean, the faith is not just verified by an empty tomb and the resurrection, but people that believed in it so strongly they would rather die than deny it. And it was said by historians of the day that some of those that sat in those stands and watched that bloody thing happen were converted and gave their heart to Christ because they knew it must be true. It must be true. So this is blood bought, and this is blood brought. And people are still dying all over the world for this faith that many times are taken for granted here in America. People go to church to be entertained instead of informed. And that's why the teaching ministry of Jesus came today and didn't have a full orchestra or a band or a praise team. If He wasn't cool, if He sat down on a rock outside and began to teach, not only would a lot of the nominal Christians walk out on Him, but a lot of Pentecostals would. If you sit down and begin to teach a Pentecostal, he thinks, you ain't got the Spirit, and you ain't got nothing I need. I want you to get happy and dance and run around the building to give me a little overflow of your emotion. I'm going to tell you, it's going to take a lot more than somebody's overflow of their emotion. It won't take the place of your devotion. And the only thing that's going to hold you to the cross in these days and not get caught up in the falling away is your personal devotion to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So I want to preach a Jesus that's worth your devotion. Amen. That you love him back enough. Amen. So we're in these troubled times. And I was pondering all these things last night. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just began to deal with me about the sovereignty of God. So I want to talk to you about the sovereignty of God today. And I'm going to go ahead and get ahead of myself for time's sake. No matter, when we're through with this teaching, no matter who wins this election. Did I hear a pin? Somebody drop a pin. No matter who wins this election, mark it. God is in control. Now, I'm going to speculate, since we're wondering about the last election. Several things came out of that. Number one, a lot of false prophets were exposed. And some people are still following them. They were exposed because what they prophesied, oh, it's a good thing we're living not back in the old covenant. What would happen to these guys? What did they do to them back then? Now, I don't want these people to be killed. I just want people to wise up and quit contributing and following that they know is false because it's false. I'd rather hear that talking donkey that talked to Balaam than to hear these guys and gals. They were so sure, and they're already starting it again. They're not on the throne. They're not sovereign. He is. There's another thing that happened. We got to see what it was be like and is like under this administration. They told him in Chicago, you got what you wanted. You're a sanctuary city. Quit complaining. Send them until they sent them. It's not against those poor people seeking a country that a lot of people don't appreciate. Amen. It's just what this administration has done and is doing. And it's hurt the economy. There are people, businesses going out of businesses. There are people, you know what it's like. It's awful. It's terrible. It's terrifying. So, whatever happened, God was in control when it happened. A political party didn't overrule him. I want you to understand how big God is before we start giving credit to the devil or a political party or this group or that group. God is sovereign. That means God is in control. So no matter who wins this election, I want you to praise God for being in control. And I want you to understand that since he's in control, there is a purpose in it. Now, I tried to speculate the purpose. Go ahead. Have it your way. Do it your way. And we've got a good look at how all of that worked out. How's that working out for them? It's not working out for them. It's not working out for us. So how's it going to go? Well, the prophets are already prophesying. Last time, they messed it up really, really bad. They said, well, God willed it to be done, but no. You bring God down to happenstance, chance, this, that, and the other. You take away his sovereignty. You take away his sovereignty. You have no basis to trust him when it gets really, really dark and you don't understand what's going on or why it is happening. Why did God let that happen? At your son's wedding, a little lady came up to me, and I didn't recognize her because years passed. I had black hair. I had a bushy beard, and it was jet black. I wasn't taller, but I had changed a lot. She certainly had changed a lot. Even if she hadn't changed, it'd been so long. But a lady came up to me, and she said, "Pastor, I want to thank you for what you did for us." And she told me, and then it all came back to me when I went to Children's Hospital in Pinellas County because a little boy, 5 years old, I think five, had... It was his nephew. How old was he? Two years old. Somehow got through a little gate, got into the swimming pool. They revived him, but he was brain dead. And the parents were faced with one of the worst things they could ever possibly face. And that is, that little boy is here, but he's not there. He's on life support. And the doctor says there's no brain activity. Now, we can pray for a miracle, but God is sovereign. Remember when you use your faith, because if you don't, you're going to be disillusioned, you're going to be disappointed, and you're going to say this three-letter word, W-H-Y. And that's okay. This is not doubt or unbelief. It's an honest question. Why? People are praying for his recovery. And here's how we think. Now, see, this is meat for men. I don't have any more pablum to give. I don't have that much time and that many people to feed any meat to. A lot of people don't want a meat message. I'm going to tell you about spiritual children. They're not going to make it through these times that are ahead. They're not prepared. They have been fed on milk, and they don't have spiritual muscularity. They're not equipped to stand the end times. I'm not preaching a message for people to survive the end times. Not get in survival mode, but to actually thrive in the end times. Your light will never shine brighter than at midnight, spiritually and prophetically. It'll never shine brighter until the whole world is so dark. In fact, there's a message of Isaiah 60, "Arise, darkness shall cover the earth." Gross darkness, thick, black, deep darkness shall cover the earth. And what's God's message? Oh, Lord, look, the devil's prevailing. Look, the devil's winning. I don't understand it. No, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee and shall be seen upon thee. Can you say amen? If there ever was a time to arise and shine, it's now. But if we get caught up in the same discouragement and despair that the world is under and lose our hope, we can't shine that hope to other people that desperately need it. Hallelujah. No matter who wins the election, God is in control. Well, why didn't he let this? Well, you see, here we are. Let me tell you about his ways and our ways. My ways, he says, are above your ways. I wish someone would say, above your ways as high. How high? Thank you for that. Now I can go forward. My ways are above your ways. How high? How high? Got a second. Can I get a third? Third. Looking for a third. All right. As high as the heavens, plural, are above the earth. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. So if you're trying to logically, reasonably think what is best for America, is best for you, is best in a given situation, you can't. You can't. You can't figure it out. You're going to have to acquiesce and trust God. Amen. And if you don't acknowledge His sovereignty, you have no basis to trust Him when the whys and the whats comes. And they're going to come. And there's many people that have been brought a message, and it's been for decades now, that, oh, well, here's one of the scriptures that's going to cause shipwreck. And it's caused shipwreck, causing more shipwreck. And that is this: commanding the works of my hands. They have to go all over the Bible to get this stuff. Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Tell me what. I'm going to tell God. Command Him. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? You are going to command God? Oh, Jesse DePlano said, and I'm just telling you what he said. I'm letting that cat out of the bag. Cat wasn't in the bag. It's been running all over the place for a long time. Amen. You know what he said? He said, I went in my office one day. This is his words. People can quote me if they want to. I'm sure they will out of context. This is in context. I went in my office one day, and I started talking to the Lord. And I sensed that the Lord was sad. He was so sad. And I said, Lord, why are you so sad? Now here's the man talking to the Maker. And the Lord said, because my children won't obey me. Said that. And he said, you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to cancel all my appointments today. And I'm going to sit here and comfort you. You see, when we're feeling like we're about to throw something up, you know, we laugh at it because it's so far beyond any conceptual, biblical, spiritual truth about the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God. He's not the all-powerful Oz. There's not somebody manipulating Him. He's God Almighty. Does He care? Does His heart break over sinners and lost people? Yes, it does. Does He need a man here on earth to encourage Him? No, He does not. Does the man desperately need God? Yes, he does. The fact that there are people like this out there is no marvel. What is a marvel is that so many people with Bibles that name the name of Jesus pour the money in, show up and support. I'm not jealous of it. I don't want that under those conditions. If I can't preach the truth on Sunday, I'm done. But I'm not done yet. God's given me something to say. Someday He may give me some people to say it to. Not disrespecting you guys. Amen. Where are they? Where do they flock to? What happened to the Pentecostal movement? Amen. What happened to holiness? What happened to heaven? What happened to hell, for that matter? Is there no heaven to gain? Is there no hell to shun? If there is, why don't we hear about it? Right now, it's a here and now message. It is directed toward fleshly fulfillment. I'm so glad that when I go on YouTube, there's a whole lot of people talking about the soon coming of Christ. Talking about the end times. Because that message has just been shoved aside to get this social gospel, this materialistic gospel out. No matter who wins this election, listen, that stuff is baloney. God is on the throne. God is in charge. And when I went to that hospital and the doctor, we counseled with the doctor, with this precious man and this woman who has a little child laying there on life support. And the doctor says, it's time to pull the plug. There is no. I said, let's pray first. Ask God. Let's ask God. Ask. You have not because you ask not. Let's ask the Lord. Let's pray. We prayed earnestly. I'm telling you, I prayed a prayer of faith that God is able. But you see, there's something else involved than His power. And that's His purpose. Say His purpose. What possible purpose could he have in just letting that little boy come on home? Are you ready for it? I don't know. Now, if you try to figure God out, remember how high his ways are. How far are they above your... And you got a bigger brain than you let on. Don't look at me, because my brain is very tiny. And no, it isn't. You got a big old brain up in that gourd. Amen. How do I know? Because you try to figure things out. I try to figure things out. Amen. I called her head a gourd. I hope she don't hold it against me. She's a good Christian woman. It's shaped like a gourd, your head. Not her head, our heads. You're throwing it right over your shoulder. Thank you very much. I had no problem telling them I don't know. I don't know. I could speculate. I could do all kinds of things, but I don't know. I could, and here's one thing the devil will do a lot of times. He'll say, your lack of faith. You know what some of these people do? They put it on parents in that kind of hurt, and they attributed it was their lack of faith. I prayed in faith. They didn't believe. That's their out when things don't happen. That's the last thing someone hurting like that needs, is someone to accuse them, your faith isn't strong enough. You're the one, and you're the reason that this child is not healed. Instead of telling them there's a sovereign God who is on the throne, and we're talking to a God that sees the end from the beginning, and a God who, when we question his love, points us to his Son on the cross. He doesn't give us all the answers. I like that song that says, we'll understand it better in the by and by. I'll ask the reason, he'll tell me why. But here and now, God asks us to attribute to him the sovereignty of God. Whoever wins this election, God is in control. Did he will it? You know something? God can take what the devil means for evil. Did he mean for Joseph to get sold into slavery? Of course not. But in his sovereign will, did he use that negative to deliver Israel in the time of famine? And that man going through it, I love him attributing the sovereignty of God. That's how he kept the faith. You meant it for evil. No doubt about it, you scutters, you rat finks. That's my version, but King James it's about the same. It amounts to the same thing. I'm paraphrasing. Amen? They sold him. They would have killed him out of jealousy. But they threw him in probably an empty cistern so he would die in there. And then they got convicted and said, you know, then we'll have his blood on our hands. We could make some money off the old boy. So his brothers, oh, wow, what a family, huh? You think your family's spooky. Can you say amen? And they went and did a little. Okay, you can't snap it. Okay, we couldn't hear it on the mic anyway. They went and pulled him out and sold him as a slave. Their own brother. He goes down into Egypt. He's a slave at Potiphar's house. Ah, but this is a different guy. Everything he touched, God blessed. Potiphar's prospered because he had that man serving him. Wow, he's getting even, because that man with God's hand, God is sovereign. Why did he allow that to happen? He had a plan, not just for him, but he also had a plan for the whole nation of Israel, and this was key to his plan. I would have never planned that. You would have never planned that. Only God has enough foreknowledge and intelligence and wisdom and purpose to plan something like that. He saw the end from the beginning. And Joseph had to know God's on the throne, even when it looked like God had abandoned him. At Potiphar's house, there was evidence of the blessing of God on him. Potiphar goes off on business. His wife comes along. And here's a young man, and he's not Holy Ghost baptized. He don't have backup. Can you say amen like we do today? And she throws herself at him. And she says, lie with me. And he refuses. He says, I won't sin against my God, and I won't sin against my master, Potiphar. He's a good servant. Amen? And so she grabs him by the coat. And he comes out of his coat and takes off. And then she accuses him of molesting her. And they put him in jail. But I don't believe Potiphar. I think he knew what a Jezebel he had for a wife. But that didn't change the fact. So he goes from the coat of many colors. He goes from the most blessed child to slavery, to falsely accused, to put into prison. And after a while, he's interpreting the king's dreams. And the king recognizes the wisdom and the blessing upon his life and puts him in charge of all of his storehouses. And a famine comes in the land, and the only people who had corn was the Egyptians. And Joseph, a Jew, is in charge of it. And these brothers came, sent to seek help so they wouldn't starve to death nationally. And they're talking to the man in charge of it all with great authority and power. And after a while, it dawned onto them, oh, Lord, help us. It's him. Here we are. He could call the guards of Egypt and have us beheaded. And he said, don't worry. Can you see? He recognized God was in it. Some of it in retrospect and some of it in where he was, but he recognized, you know, somehow God's sovereignty caused him to, see, he had to get that. He had to understand that. We need to get that. There's an illegal use of faith. You ask not because you have not. Just learn how to ask in faith. No, no. You ask not because you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask to what? Consume it on yourself. Not my will, but thy will be done is a wonderful place to start. And it's part of the pattern prayer for all prayer. And few Christians pray that way. Because we're afraid if we acquiesce to God's will, it won't go our way. I wish I could find that pen. It keeps interrupting me. We have these pauses in between where I can hear pins dropping. And I'm not talking about fountain pens. I'm talking about a needle. Christians don't want to hear that. They want to be in control. The Bible said, here's one of those scriptures that's been thrown out there to help us get what we want instead of what he wills. We're afraid to trust him with that. We're just scared. Concerning the work of my hands, command you me. Tell me what to do. By faith, anything, just no, it's in the context. It's concerning the work of my hands. Command you me? Are you going to command me? Are you that arrogant? Are you that prideful that you command me what to do? Where's the bowing? Pattern prayer, you bow before you believe. Before you ask him for one solitary thing. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next principle before asking for anything? Thy kingdom come. What is the kingdom? Where a king rules in absolute authority. Where a king rules your kingdom, your will be done. Jesus prayed it. Sovereignty of God. Not my will. If there's any other way, let the cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. This is where faith explodes. This is where you can use it legitimately. Legitimately. Amen. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, you'll never discover His will until you acquiesce to His Lordship. Oh, but I got a promise here. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. I like that. Here's the promise. Here's the promise we love to claim. I think it's Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. I want all your gimme. It's not this Jimmy. In context, it says that promise is only valid to those who have taken the spoil of their own goods to help another church that's in trouble. That's not a personal promise that you can claim just to get rich or to get your need met. It's a biblical principle that you can pray after you have obeyed the principle. And the principle is give and it shall be given unto you. Amen. If you haven't given, you can't claim. I'm not talking about just money. Give yourself. Give your substance. Give whatever God asks of you. I heard Fred Price one day, and he was preaching, and he said, I know why the Bible said it's better to give than receive. Because when you give, God has promised you're going to receive. That's not what it's all about. Because that's all about me. It's all about gratifying me. Did you notice these guys? There's never enough airplanes. You can't have enough. You can't fly but in one at a time. One man has five. Has four praying and bragging about the four and praying for a fifth one. Another guy, he's got a great jet. He said, I'm asking, well, it's Crefo Dollar. I like his last name. It fits him perfectly. He's asking for $64 million to buy a particular type of plane. It's almost like, you know, you got a plane. I want a bigger plane, a better plane than you got. I'm going to use my faith. And he was questioned about it. And he started talking about God wanting everybody rich and prosperous and, you know, just on and on and on. It was on national news. And you know what it did to ministry and preachers and pulpits that are even sacrificing to be there to tell people the truth? It put them a big question mark. A big question mark. A big question mark. All they want is your money, money. All they talk is money, money. Everything revolves around money, money. And guess who is giving? People who name the name of Jesus, who have Bibles. They even tried. He defended himself in his own church. He said, if I want to believe God for this plane, I'm going to believe God. Well, go ahead and believe God for it. Just don't ask me to donate to it. Let God give you the plane. Oh, I hear you, brother. Why do they believe God and send us the bill? You get the letter. Send him the letter. You're using your faith. Don't ask me for nothing. I believe in giving, but I don't believe in giving to people that are just crazy with materialism. Ever getting, never having enough. When godliness, we brought nothing in, we can't take anything out. I've conducted hundreds of funerals in 50 years. I've never seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul full of stuff. Can you say amen? We brought nothing in, we can't take nothing out. Story of the man who he was so rich he had all his. Oh, didn't some politician, the wife had gold bars sewn into the mattress. Boy, that must have been a lovely mattress. I'm sure glad I don't have bullion in my mattress. I mean, good Lord. I mean, that's in the news. Bullion in the mattress. So anyway, in this silly story, but everything's so silly nowadays. Makes silly stories starting to make a lot of sense. So there's this guy. Angel comes to take him to heaven. He says, wait a minute. He said, why? It's time to go. I've been sent to take you to heaven. This is your life's over here. It's just beginning there. Come on. Times are wasting. He grabs this suitcase that he's lugging. And he said, what in the world? He said, listen, leave me alone now. Leave me alone. Let's go on. I'm ready now. So they end up, of course, everybody ends up at the gate. And the gatekeeper angel is standing there. And he's watching him drag this bag. You know, he's coming up to the gate of heaven. And he's dragging this bag and he's sweating. And he said, sir, I want to see what's in that bag before you come in here. So the guy opened the bag. Angel looked inside and said, you brought pavement? The streets are paved with gold. It's for you. It's just make sure you... Did you get it? Okay. I'm just kidding. I love you. Since Ditter went to heaven, Elizabeth Baldry, I picked you. I said, I don't have anybody to pick on. I picked you, and I love you with all of my heart, and I appreciate you for the flowers and for showing up. Do you understand what people need? They need to know God is on the throne. And though we can't see it, we don't understand it, we don't get His ways, and it's all right to say why. But after we say why, to acquiesce to His will, because it must be His will. Because if we ask according to His will, amen, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. The sovereignty of God is essential to trusting God in the dark times. And if you don't give that to God, if you don't ascribe that to God, if you don't allow God to be God, then you're going to be disillusioned, disappointed, discouraged, and fall into despair. When you're in despair, guess who's going to get accused of unfaithfulness? God. You said in your word. You said in your word. You know what He said in His word? He said, when you pray, pray like this. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Immediately acquiesce to His will. Why didn't that little boy get healed? I could say I didn't have enough faith. I could tell them you didn't have enough faith. And faith is essential to receiving. But God had a purpose to everything, leaving nothing out. There is a time, there is a season, and there is a purpose under heaven. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to sow. Now, if you don't want this meat, you've already questioned God. You may be questioning Him now, and you will continue to question Him. First, you'll question yourself. I just didn't have enough faith. I must not have any faith. Oh, the devil loves that. That's why the Apostle Paul told Timothy, you got faith. You got faith. Your discouragement isn't because you don't have faith. It's because you've quit using your faith. You can be discouraged in your emotions, in your mental, and still have faith in your spirit man. And he still had it. And he encouraged him in it. But it's all coming back to the sovereignty of God. God made an executive decision that's above my pay grade. Amen. To take that little boy home. And I assured his parents, if he doesn't raise him up, he has a purpose, and we may never know it here, and I can't speculate and would not dare. But I know God, And I know He loves you. And I know He loves him. And I know when we get to heaven, you'll never be separated from your child, and death can't touch him, and nothing can harm him, and you'll have him and be with him throughout all eternity. God's already made that provision through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And when I hear this junk gospel, it makes me say, what are you telling people? They're going to turn on God. They're going to question God. They're going to lose their faith. And it's because of what you preached about you commanding Him instead of trusting Him. And we all three wept. And the doctor wept. And they said, go ahead. We trust him to God. The doctor said, I'm a pediatric emergency room doctor. Told me personally afterwards. He said, I did all right till I had children of my own. And now every child that something like this happens to, I relate the pain of that to how I would feel. And he said, Pastor, this is my last day as a pediatric ER doctor because I can't take the pain. If we don't believe that God has a purpose and God has a plan and that all things, including the worst possible thing, work together for good, listen to those that love the Lord and are the called according to what? His purpose. And if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, if you don't believe that He's in control, and you pray and it goes the other way, and you say, what's this about? It's okay to say, what's this about? But stop and say, all right, Lord, I know. I like what a man said in a practical way before we close. He went to Africa to find a tribe way back off the map as a missionary. He said, this Christian man, native of that country, he knew where this tribe was. There's no map. So he had to follow the guide. And they're getting deeper into the jungle, and they were following a path. And after a while, the path run out. And now you're just going through the woods with no sense of direction. It's so thick you can't even use the sun. And he asked the guide, he said, do you know where we're going? You know, after a while you question, oh, do you know where we're going? He said, yes, I've been there many times. Been there many times. And he incorporated that. He said, you know, I've either got to turn back or follow my guide with the confidence that he lives here, he's been there, and he knows how to get there. I don't understand it. There's no path. How does he know? Well, if he can trust a guy that's been there, we ought to be able to trust a God who's been there, who is there. He said, I incorporated it into my ministry and my message. He said, I put it this way. I don't always know where the Lord leads me, but well do I know my guide. I don't always know where the Lord is leading me, but well do I know my guide? How well do you know your guide? You see, you got to know him well to trust him that way. And you got to believe he's in control when it looks like he's gone, he's out of sight, out of mind, nowhere near. This is what it says, and I'm almost done, which means absolutely nothing, but I am trying to be time conscious. I don't want to lie to you. Have you ever heard that term? I ain't going to lie to you. Simply stated, according to Piper, God's sovereignty is the right and power to do all that he decides to do. It's his right, and he has the power to do all he decides to do. Now, if he's not that, he's not God. And if he's got to do what we think is right, then you're trying to be God. I'm trying to be God. I know best. Father Knows Best is not just a TV, black and white TV show. It's the truth. If you can't acquiesce to his will, you'll never believe him for anything. You'll be disappointed and despair. You will question yourself, disqualify yourself from using your faith, or worse, you'll question him so that there will be no faith in him. Why did God let that happen? There's a purpose. There's a purpose. What is it? I don't know. And when they let that little boy go, they put him in the hands of someone who loved him far more than they could ever love him, and they loved him with all their heart. And when I saw them do that, I didn't tell them what to do. I just told them, God is in control. And prayer puts him in God's hands. And now we trust God with those hands. By the way, Jesus' hands, I believe, are the only, and his side and his feet, I believe that's the only scarred body that will be in heaven. But I believe the scars inflicted on him at the cross, I believe those scars will remain. I don't believe there'll be a day in heaven after 10,000 years that we won't see the scars in his hands. And thank God that he did what he did so we could live forever in that place. And we're reunited with loved ones. I've got a daughter, Lisa Marie, is there. I won't need a guide to show me to my mansion. I won't need a guide to show me where David lives, where my son is playing the guitar and he's playing the harp. Can you say amen? I won't need a guide. My daughter will come and meet me at the gate. And she'll say, Daddy, I got a lot to show you. Hallelujah. And daddy and daughter are going to walk over heaven seeing some sights. It's going to take a while before I realize, pinch myself, say, is this really happening? Am I really in this place with all of these people that I love with all of my heart? Amen. It's going to take a long time before I notice that the street is made out of transparent gold. When I see my daughter, I see my daddy, see my mother, see my grandparents, see my uncles and my aunts, well, many of which I led to the Lord. Hallelujah. See Grandpa and Grandma Hodges, and glory to God. See people I've known through 50 years of ministry that preceded me to glory. It's going to be a long time before I notice that gate over there. You know, maybe 10,000 years later, after all this hug fest, this group hugging is taking place, I might notice, well, did you, Pamela, that's solid pearl. Wow, is that something? Now, where did Alan go? This is real. We don't need to be putting our roots down, trying to get rich like Hollywood, emulate and imitate the world about us who says, this is what you need. This is what God wants for you. No, it isn't. He wants you in heaven. He wants to meet your need. He wants to bless you. I believe he absolutely wants to prosper you, but he don't want your trust in pavement. He wants your trust in him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Job 42:2 says, I know that you can do all things and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Guess who said it? I already told you. Spoiler. It was Job. And what did he do when everything went south? He did what we all do. He questioned God. But when his wife pushed him, I think the devil pushes us too far sometimes. He's too anxious to destroy us, too anxious to destroy our faith. So he pushes too hard, too long, and too far until we just get mad about it and stand up and say, no, 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 no more. He lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his riches. He lost the respect of the people that thought he was such a godly man. That's why he had all this. He didn't know what in the world was going on. He questioned God. And God, of course, answered him, said, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world?" Let's see. Where was I? I wasn't even a gleam in my daddy's eye. I don't think he said that, do you? I just see if you were listening. Where were you when I pulled out the Leviathan? What is that? I have no earthly idea. But he pulled it out. Can you say amen? It's a big old thing. Everybody say a big old thing. That's all we need to know. And God pulled it out. Where were you when that happened? I wasn't nowhere around. He said, "My ways are what?" Come on, they got to get up some more. My ways are how high? As far as the heavens are above the earth. So if you're going to trust me, don't even try to figure it out. So I'm not going to try to tell you what you can't figure out. What I am going to tell you is what you can figure out, if you will figure out. God is sovereign. And down in verse 42, his wife saw, he got sick. And he's covered with boils. He's miserable inside. He's heartbroken. And now he's got a malady in there. It's hurting him. There's no place he can lay or sit without pain. Pain in his heart from the trouble. Pain in his body from the sickness. I can speculate and say the stress of what he lost lowered his immune system, and that allowed the boils to come on his body. A lot of sickness today is because we're stressing over things we're supposed to be trusting God with. That's why men's hearts are not just failing them for fear out of this dread of the future, but the actual heart itself is becoming affected and infected with fear and causing heart disease as well. It's a spiritual and a physical and an emotional aspect to this. This is meat. Why are you giving it to me? Because according to the Bible, it's going to get darker before it gets bright. So if all of your hope is in any system, political, otherwise, military to keep you safe, doctors to keep you well, if it's all tied up in all of that, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Can we trust that God is still in control? Or are we going to give up on God and end up just like the world? A lot of Christians end up disillusioned with God, disappointed in God, falling into despair. Pattern of the world, they're without hope because they're without God in the world. That's where the devil wants to put you. He wants to put you in because you're so helpless and because you can't be in control, to not let him be in control. His wife says, "Job, oh, by the way, C.H. Spurgeon, such a prince of preachers. He went through deep depression. None of these guys that say you can live in this place of hyper faith and never be down, that's not true. That's their wife. Don't just listen to them for an hour on television. They don't live on that hour. They live in a real world like you and me, and they go through real things like us. And they go through times that they're down. Well, my faith has failed. No, your faith may have wavered. Your faith won't fail until you recognize God is faithful even when you're in that condition. He loves you, man. He loves you, woman. He loves you. Praise God. And he loves me. Hallelujah. Why don't you curse God? Oh, wait a minute. Let's get Spurgeon out of the way. His wife came by his office for a whole week. He wasn't studying. He wasn't praying. He wasn't normal. He was just, God had the blues and the blahs. And so she went in the closet, according to this supposed to be true story, and put on a black dress and a black veil like they were going to a funeral back in the 1800s. Black veil, black dress. She come and stood in the doorway to his office. After a while, you know, he's in a bad case of the poor old me's. After a while, he looked up and he saw her standing there and he says, "Who died?" In other words, I didn't hear about it. Who died? She said, "Your faith." Isn't that amazing? We need you guys to encourage us. My wife tells me all the time. I mean, you know, she's the queen of the castle until something big goes wrong. And then she comes to me and says, "You're the priest of the home. You pray." Okay, I'm going to pray. Thank you for giving me that. Now I got it on me. I wanted the queen to take care of it. That's one of the benefits of her being the queen. Off with their heads. No. To the bank that messed things up. Anyway, God is good today. God is on the throne today. God is sovereign. You can trust Him. He's in control. Hallelujah. Job didn't understand it, but he figured out God is sovereign. Whatever's happening, God is still in control. And she said, "Why don't..." Oh, Spurgeon, by the way, he got it. He got it. He said after that he was walking by a bookshop. He had written a book on losing your faith. And he saw that they were out of them. They had sold out of them. And it said, "Spurgeon's books all gone. Spurgeon's book on faith all gone. Faith all gone." And he got it a second time. And after a while, he decided, you know, I need to shake myself up out of this place that the devil's trying to put me in and keep me in, and allow God to be God and trust Him anyway. And God will always pull you out. He will never let you stay in that. He lifted me out of that place, out of that miry clay where I sunk up in it and can't extract. You may have a four-wheel drive faith, but you get in certain kinds of clay and all them wheels are going to do, all four of them are going to spin like crazy, and you're going to dig yourself deeper in. Yeah, you might have overdrive, amen, faith. And you might have four-wheel drive faith and think, hey, it'll pull me through anything. But I'm going to tell you, get in a dungeon, sink up in the mire, and find out how you feel about that. But there is a God who said, David said, He lifted me. He lifted me. He lifted me from the miry clay. He didn't just lift me out and put me on a slippery slope so every Sunday I need deliverance. No, He put my feet on a rock. He established me, praise God. And because He lifted me out and established me, there's a song in my heart. Woo! A song of praise. Many shall hear about this. They'll take courage. They'll be gladdened. They'll know that there's a God in Israel. There's a God above, and there's a God that will come to you when you're at your lowest, and He'll pull you out if you'll keep your trust in Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like preaching now that it's time to quit. Let me read you something God gave me to tell you. Knowing that God is in control when everything seems out of control is the basis for a resting faith, a quiet confidence when the storm is raging. Even though Job didn't know the purpose for his loss and suffering, he declared that God was still in control. There must be a purpose, a reason known only to God. But I don't need to know the reason known only to God. All I need to know, there is a purpose. And if there is a purpose, then God is at work through all of this. God dropped a revelation into his heart about the resurrection and the Redeemer. She said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And he said, "I know my Redeemer lives. And at the last day, He's going to stand on the earth. And if I die from this disease, and if I die penniless, and I die, I will not die hopeless. Because there's a day coming. Amen. Even, oh, we're going to get morbid here. Even though the skin worms eat all the flesh off of my bones, when my Redeemer comes, He's going to stand upon the earth. And when He stands upon the earth, I'm going to stand with Him. And in my flesh, that the skin worm, you ever wonder, people have been dead for 3,000 years and they've turned to dust? Well, they're coming. Amen. If they knew the Lord, trusted God, they're coming. They're coming. How's He going to do that? I told you His ways. Come on, your gourd is not big enough to hold a brain that's big enough to think on that level. How's He going to do it? He's God. How's that? Let all the world stand in awe of Him. Amen. He stretched out the heavens with His right hand. Oh, let the be in awe of Him. You're asking, is He big enough? Yes, He is. He's bigger than big enough. Hallelujah. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And you've got to give Him that. How's He going to do it? I don't know. I just know. Hath He not said it? And will He not do it? That's the sovereignty of God. Even though Job didn't know the purpose for his loss and suffering, he declared that God was still in control. There must be a purpose, a reason known only to God, and it held him like an anchor holds a ship in a stormy sea. It held him. And what did he say was holding him? I know. I don't know all the other, but I know this about him. I know that you can do all things and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. None of this, that evil that the devil has tried to do to me, can thwart your purpose for me. And he purposed to use him to demonstrate that man on earth will not just serve God for what he can get, but for who He is and what He's done for us, not just materially, but what we're looking forward to. He looked past all of that. He looked past time. He looked past heartache and heartbreak, and He saw a Redeemer coming, that the dead are going to be raised, and in my flesh, I'm going to see Him and stand up with Him. Praise God. What a revelation he got when he realized and declared God is sovereign, and He's still in control, even though it looks like everything is out of control. Isaiah 46:10, I declare, God says, I declare the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Amen? That's why heaven and earth will pass away, but His word won't. His counsel will stand. And nothing can circumvent, nothing can overwhelm, nothing can overcome His purpose. Nothing. That's why the devil works on you. He wants you to quit believing. He wants you to start accusing God. He wants you to quit trusting God. Because you're the only one that can thwart His purpose in you. It's God that worketh in you. Both to do what? To do whatever you want Him to do. Whatever you think is best. No, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of all of His good pleasure. I had a guy come in one day, a gal actually, a lady, supposed to be a very spiritual lady, I give her that. She said a good thing over me, and I like when good things are said over me. But if it's too good, I just don't believe it. I mean, something said over me, I'd have to have a tremendous ego, you know, to believe it. God don't like ego. She He said, sir, I'm going to tell you right now. It's back to the Holy Church of God when we had about 100 people and we were thriving, and you know, for a small church. And she said, and she was actually a missionary to Africa, and she said, you should be ministering. You should be an evangelist to the world. The world needs your message. I thought, yeah, sure does. Yeah, yeah. I'm too good for this church. These people, I'm way too good to be. What am I doing here? I should be going around the world and renting coliseums. And I thought, she had good intentions, but that wasn't God. God sent me to Sulphur Springs. He didn't call me to go to the world. He called me to go to Sulphur Springs. He called me to a little church. He called me to a little group of people that he loved enough to send one of his best to. Forgive me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Forgive me for pride. I knew that wasn't me. And you know what? I figured out I was right where I was supposed to be, doing exactly what I was supposed to do. And God moved, and God saved, and God healed, and God delivered, and God set free. And there's people going to be in the kingdom because I served Him faithfully in Sulphur Springs. Hallelujah! You say, Brother Venable, aren't you terribly discouraged? I get discouraged all the time. But God is sovereign. And He's good. And He still has something for me to do. And part of it involves you, obviously. And I'm glad I got you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These kind of messages don't go over in most churches. But this is not most churches. What did he say in Isaiah 46:10? I declare the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Someone has said, absolutely. Everything. Say it with me. Absolutely. Everything that needs to be done to bring about His purposes, God sees to it that it happens. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, knowing there's a purpose when we don't know what it is will defeat doubt, it'll disarm fear, and deliver us from discouragement and despair. Hallelujah. All things work together for good. That's a simple thing to grab a hold of. To those that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Once you know that, there's a scripture that says, in closing, oh, I got to read you one more out. Will you give me one more out of Isaiah? Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. And the reason God calls the things not as though they were. Have you ever heard that scripture? I've heard it out of context, and it's simply saying, I'm going to call riches into existence because that's how I use my God kind of faith. I'm going to call that's not as though it were. I am rich. I am rich. And there they go. There they go. And we get the bill. The letter comes to us to contribute. Isn't that amazing that we get the bill and we still haven't figured it out? What dodos with Bible? Dodos with Bibles. Amazing. The reason God calls the things not as though they were is because what He has purposed, He's all powerful to bring to pass. That's according to that great preacher, Robert A. Venable. I don't quote him enough. No circumstance, no power in heaven and earth, no angel, no demon can thwart His purpose. When He says Babylon is fallen, it hadn't fell yet. But once He said it's fallen, it's a matter of time, prophetically. But Babylon is still around. Not that, oh yeah, it fell, it rebuilt. It's still here spiritually, a political system, a religious system, a financial system. But He says Babylon is fallen twice. He has pronounced that judgment. And guess what's going to happen? Is there any guesswork about it? Not at all, because His purpose shall not be thwarted. It doesn't matter how many defenses we have, how many things look like it's not going to happen. It's going to come to pass just like He said it, because if He said it, He's going to bring it to pass. And there's nothing that can stop Him. Hallelujah. So come out of her, my people, that you be not a partaker of her plagues because it is coming, as sure as God is on the throne, and He is on the throne. I'll show you how that verse works in context. Would you like to have it before we go? Thank you. I'm going to give it to you anyway. We're almost done. When God told Abraham He made him the father of many nations, he had no children. When God told Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations, he had no children. He couldn't go out on the front porch and see a bunch of kids having kids having kids. So I'm going to pick the narrative up in Romans 4 and verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God. Now who does what? Who quickeneth the dead? The greatest enemy of man, the greatest miracle that you could conceive of, God makes the dead live again. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. We don't operate on that level, because we don't bring it to pass. He does, because He's God. He's on the throne. He's almighty. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. By the way, her womb was dead before she got past the age of childbearing. She couldn't have children before, and now she's past the age to have children, so it's going to take a double miracle, and God is a double miracle God. Hallelujah. It had to be the sovereignty of God to bring to pass what He's purposed. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him righteousness. God calls the things not as though they were, because He's sovereign. Has He not said it? Shall He not do it? And nothing He's purpose can be thwarted. By the way, the Democrats can't thwart Him. Pen. Where's that? I'm going to find that pen. I'm going to tell them about it. I'm going to complain at the desk. There's a pen in here somewhere, and it keeps falling off chairs. God had a purpose in Trump not winning last year. I can speculate all day long. But His ways are what? Should we be discouraged when things don't go our way? If you're going to be discouraged when things don't go your way, you've never prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And you can never pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, until you pray, thy kingdom come, my will go. Nevertheless. And once that occurs, Satan can't cheat you. He can't deceive you. He can't get you on his side accusing God any longer. And you get established in the faith. I shall not be moved. I'm glad for the presence of God in that room. When we got a doctor crying, and I'm crying, and they're crying, and we are heartbroken. But we're not like others. We're not like others who have no hope. And when I saw the hopelessness of so many people, instead of trusting the sovereignty of God, I saw the long faces on Christians. I saw the heartache and the heartbreak. I said, Lord, we got to get beyond this. We can't worship because we're discouraged. We can't worship because we got all these questions. We can't trust you. We're seeing the false prophets and prophecies that are failing. Who can we trust? We can trust God. We can trust His Word, and we got to get back to God and His Word. And let God be true, and every man, me, you, and everybody else, become the liar when there's any conflict with it. We get back to that, we'll be on solid ground. Heaven and earth will pass. His Word will abide forever. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we have this song to stop with? Did you get something out of the meat? I know you got to chew it. I realize that. Don't just try to bolt it down. Chew on it. Make the sovereignty of God a Bible study. Get in a Thompson chain. You'll be busy for about 6 months studying the Word of God, going here and there and there, but it'll keep popping up like a pop-up book. God is on the throne. God's in control. He's able to subdue. Oh, those scriptures keep rolling. I got to quit, and they just keep coming. He's able to subdue everything without exception unto Himself. That means His will and His eternal purpose. Aren't you glad He's in control? Aren't you glad you're not? Amen. Praise God. When Pamela comes and said, you're the priest of the home, I say, you know what? I'm gonna go right in right now and give this to God. Get out from under that load in a hurry. That's how I exercise my priesthood in the home. Glory to God. Amen. Lord knows I'm not done, but I gotta quit. God is in control. No matter how this election comes out, will you let God be God and say, whatever is happening, there's a purpose. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to glorify Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to come to church and worship just like we won if we didn't. And again, I'm not going to let it hinder me worshiping Him. Are you kidding me? Let that bunch of knotheads up there decide how I'm going to worship? No, they don't have that. They can't take that from me. My joy is too precious. My peace is too essential to me. Oh, glory to God. No matter what they do. What if Putin does this? Well, what if he does? What if he does? Amen. God's got him on a leash. He don't know it, but he's on a leash. He can only go so far before God yanks him back. Oh, you got me preaching. I gotta quit. Y'all quit it. One more amen. Listen, we had a junkyard dog. My daddy worked at a tire shop that his daddy owned. And people would come messing around that thing at night. So we had a junkyard dog. What's a junkyard dog? That's a dog that hates everybody. He's mean. He sees somebody, he wants to bite them. That's a junkyard dog, because he's guarding the junkyard at night. And then he's on a chain, big chain. I don't mean when he's little rinky-dink. You see the little thing look like a, you know, lets the dog run out and you reel him back in or whatever. Not this dog. This dog, big dog. He's bad dog. Mean, meaner than a junkyard dog. You ever heard that term? Leroy Brown, I think it was. Some guy needs to get saved really bad. Somebody would come up, didn't notice he was on a chain because he'd wait for him. He knew, they got to get closer. I'm on a chain. They got to get closer. I'm on a chain. They got to get closer. When he figures in his gourd that this chain will let me get to him, I'm going to tear off after him. And that's where we put him up. We had to get him out of the tire shop. Somebody come in early in the morning. He's in there guarding that thing. And he comes running full out. I'm like, God, I got him. I got him. I got him. I got him. And we all laughed. This is a strong dog because it looked like it would have broke his neck because he's running full out. He's big. He weighs over 100 pounds, and it's all muscle. And he's running, snarling, wide open because now he has forgot that he's on a chain. He forgot he was on a chain. And he's got a big leather collar. It ain't pretty. It's not meant to be pretty. It's to hold him back. And he gets to the end of that chain, and his bottom goes out from under him, and it jerks his neck back, and he's on his back at the length of the chain, looking silly. And somebody's looking at him like, if he wasn't on that chain, I'd have been gone. And the dog is saying, I'll get you next time. I'll get you next time. And he never quit just about breaking his neck because he never recognized I'm on a chain. And you know what the devil knows and a lot of Christians don't? He's wanting to eat us up. But if you don't give him place, he's on a chain. He's on a chain. You don't give him place, believe me. He can't convince you to give him place. God isn't going to give him authority and has not given him authority. Can you say, man, God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Glory be to God. He's sovereign. He's God. He's in control. And we could have a revival just on this message right here, right now. If enough people would get a hold of it. Won't stop me right now. Why'd you come in smiling today when hardly nobody here? Because God is in control. Hallelujah. 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 Because he healed me of leukemia. Because he healed me from a stroke. Hallelujah. Because he's brought me through many dangerous toils and snares. Will you stand to your feet and let's have this song to seal it with today?